All right. Hour two. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I know it's a depressing morning. We're talking about homelessness. And it's all for a good reason, though. Because, you know, man, it doesn't seem to be going away. And it seems to be coming and growing. And different cities are handling it different ways. At the end of the hour, we talked about how Dallas, you know, Dallas, Texas, you know, they had that big old show about how everybody's rich in Dallas. Yeah, no, they're experiencing homelessness. And the district attorney won't charge anybody with, you know, theft under $699.99. Wow, isn't that great? Ken also told me that they're not arresting them if they have probation fees or fees and fines and whatnot, because they know they don't have any money. They don't have any money, so why even bring them in? Dude, bringing them in costs manpower. We've got all these cops, right? Every minute of his time, he could be busting somebody with money, right? Or somebody that's willing to pay, right? Because if you are busted by them, you will have to pay your fines, your fees, your court costs. So, you know, even though they might say that it's not for profit, you know, it's a private police force, but it generates revenue, and you are the source of the revenue. Well, in Dallas, you know, you don't mean that much if you are homeless. So, you know, they'll let you get away with stealing stuff. And
here locally, one of the main problems locally here, Steve, is that in Gillespie County, if someone had an old outhouse out behind a hunting cabin, it's been turned into a B&B. Any structure that, you know, you let someone stay in an old chicken house or something. But no, it's been turned into a B&B, and they get lots of money for that because everyone wants to come and stay in an old chicken house because it's quaint and they're roughing it, you know.
Or farmhouse chic. You know, San Antonio's figured out a solution to their problem since the mayor of Austin is just like welcoming them. You know, please come, live on our streets, on the side of the highways, you know, in our parks, you know, in our nice neighborhoods. San Antonio finds it to be cheaper to get them a bus ticket and send them to Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't seen any documentation on that, but I believe that it's happening. That's what San Francisco is doing to Texas. You know, so California's shipping their people to Texas so we can have them. So we better address this issue. So we've got a couple of different ways. Now, the first thing I got to, you know, throw out there, right, because I'm not telling anybody what to do. I don't have the answers. But as government gets built up to handle problems, all it does is build more government, right? Private organizations sometimes are just built to suck money off of the government, right? If we really want to address this, maybe we can just do it the sensible way instead of, well, we're going to get together and we're going to get a task force on homelessness and we're going to have a private headhunter go out and find us a CEO of experiencing homelessness, right? And they're going to come over and they're going to tell us how they worked on the homeless problem over in San Francisco. Yeah, I'm really high end, right? I drove the homeless problem even further. I was there since the beginning. Now look at it. We got a great.
Well, you hit upon one of the problems, Stephen. The more you grow government, the more you take money out of people's pockets, the more financially strapped they become, the more less likely they're able to pay rent or own a home or lose their car because they can't pay all the taxes, the fees, and whatnot. So the government is to blame for the homeless problem. To some extent, because we've already acknowledged that there's some people who just choose to be that way. But, grow government,
right.
Tax people to death, tax them to live under, to the point of living on the streets or under a bridge.
Mm. Everything would have been simpler in Robin Hood's days because Friar Tuck or whatever his name would go under the bridge and say, hey, give me your taxes, right? You'll live under here still. The tax man needs your money. You don't have any money. Too bad. Clap them in irons and throw them away and, you know, well, we'll see you next time. I don't really want that, you know. One idea that was given to me from the guy that reported this homeless problem, the business owner, the laundromat owner, is, you know, we have a shutdown facility. It used to be for old people, you know, here in town. And he was like, well, maybe we should get together and buy up the thing. Okay, let's look at that. Well, maybe some people qualify for living in a big old multi-unit facility, right, to get them back on the trip. And you go, okay, you stay in here, and here's room 203, and you can stay in 203, and you check in on him. He has breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they have to figure out a structured way to get him back to work and back into the community. Maybe they're never going to be able to do, you know, full-time living, you know, running the hamster wheel with everything that it entails. Right? That entails being able to pay rent, right, or own a home. So are these people that are, quote, experiencing homelessness, right, are they going to be able to buy a house? Oh, hell no. Right.
Not with the wages that we have going on here in Fredericksburg. You know, it's just throwing good money after bad, you know, there would have to be some sort of a process by which, you know, people are brought in, you know, they're drug tested, so that they can stay there overnight. This can be considered their home, like dorm rooms or whatever. If you do it like Austin does, you know, you can stay inside and sleep on a cot, or if you go by the rules, if you don't want to go by the rules, then you're back outside, you're back on the street. So even if you gave these folks a hand up instead of a handout, they would have to come out they would probably have to make $25 an hour, $30 an hour, I kid you not, to be able to afford rent. And that would be probably with both husband and wife, especially if they have the expensive children, to be able to live here. That's just reality. Yeah.
We are the least affordable place in the entire state of Texas, and it's a big place, folks. Little bitty Fredericksburg is the most expensive, the way I put it, the most expensive place to live in the state of Texas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, our city's budget is actually going to be smaller this year, but what are the tax rates doing? The tax rates are going up because more than half the structures in this city and probably in the county are owned by non-residents or their bed and breakfasts, short-term rentals, they call them.
And who do you think that
the majority of the tax burden and every other burden for the running of this place and the growth of this place, who do you think it falls onto? The people who actually have to live here.
Yeah.
As a result of going to the commissioner's court, listening, paying attention, which, you know, some folks need to do that. Go once a month on a Monday. You might
just
be shocked.
Take a barf bag with you.
10% of the taxes, and this is a mandate. This is an unfunded mandate by the state. 10% of their tax base has to go towards charitable or indigent care, health care. And so that's a significant amount of money. I'll also state that the county judge and the commissioners were kind of quite put off by that. They didn't like it, but it was law and they had no choice.
Wow, that could be a lot of money. 10% of the county budget goes to try to help people?
Tax base, not the budget.
Oh.
And they also get to determine what the terms indigent and et cetera, et cetera. They get to define the terms as to what these things mean. Indigent could mean, well, my cows need some really good high quality feed, so... You know, they're indigent, so part of that 10%. Who knows? The graft and corruption has gotten so bad that we know the money doesn't get to where it's supposed to be going, a majority of it. It either goes for administration or graft and under the table. you know, nonprofits, well, that just means that anything that's left over at the end of the year goes to bonuses for the CEO and the president and whoever else, you know, is the administration. You know, it's so all this crap is just, it's just
make money.
Yeah.
I know. Fascinating problem. But, you know, I don't believe that the government can fix it. Actually, I know that they can. You know, what got me the most was kind of, you know, early on in this story, I was telling y'all, you know, back at the beginning of the show an hour or so ago that fell upon this homeless story, if we call it that. We were talking to a laundromat owner, and he said that the county sheriff told him to go to city council. And I don't know. For the most part, some people will do that, right? And for me, it's kind of like what he told them, right? And maybe he didn't mean it this way. I have no freaking clue. Go talk to the city council means stick your head in a closet and yell profusely at nothing for 2.5 minutes, 2 minutes, or whatever they give you, you know, because, you know, it really doesn't matter. They're not there. They don't hear. I don't know all this, but I have had those experiences. Susan and even Alan, we've been through a lot of local city politics, and even though Susan has brought this issue to light, right, around Fredericksburg, whereas they're at least looked at it and gone, oh, what, really? Right? Where does it go from here? He couldn't get the newspaper here to even look at the idea that there's a homeless guy. Well, okay, they said that they were going to look at it, right? You know, he got a referral to the city council from the sheriff. You know, he got a full hand, right? He got a not call back. Right, but now it's gone out there and people have yelled about it. Is it just going to kind of like fizzle? Is it gone?
Anything that happens of significance in these meetings, Steve, we know happens in closed executive session.
Yes, and that should be a crime. I don't like that. You know, I hate executive sessions on the city council. But then now we're diverting. The people that I want to help around here is, oh, let's use a phrase, right, that gets really bantered about quite too often. The most vulnerable ones of our society. The most vulnerable, right? Who are they? They work at Jack's, right? They work at the donut shop. They, you know, their kids, they're 18 years old. They're only going to be there for, well, a couple months before they find out it's futile and try to find something else. Most vulnerable ones are the ones that are making $10 an hour working on Main Street, $13 an hour. That ain't enough money, right? That ain't enough money for anything. So let's try to address that. And I would say, let's start building some housing, right? Let's do. Actually, a government should not be involved in building housing or setting up partnerships with groups that build housing. Now, this is me preaching at the choir, right? Not the choir, at least the city. No, I'm preaching at the city, yes. And I'm saying this, just rezone some areas, make it easier to build. Don't make it difficult. We need to start bringing that in. Of course, I know that has a lot of problems because the housing values go down. That means the tax base goes down. That means that everybody starts wanting to leave here because there's more housing. But, you know, you're killing us, man. You know, it's really, they're choking everybody out. I guess that's all I really wanted to say.
Jeff Rentz had someone on it, like I said, the other night, and he was talking about he lived in up in Montana, I believe around the Billings area, and he said it was beautiful, it was great up there, the people were wonderful, the place was wonderful, and then all these movie stars and such started moving out there and paying just, you know, $20,000 for an acre of rock, you know, and just stupid prices. He said, you know, all the people were going, man, I can't believe all these people are paying these stupid prices for land, and what happened, it's exactly what happened to Vail, exactly what's happening here. exactly what's happening. I've heard people from around the country calling, saying this is happening to their small community. It's all a planned degradation of our whole society, and they're pushing us towards a certain thing, and none of us want it, but, you know, what else are we going to do when you're finally pushed into a corner so far? You know, you ever seen a coon in a trap, in a leg hold trap? That's what America's going to do to people.
No, I haven't seen a coon in a, you know, I'm not from
You'll
there.
Never see it. You would want to physically wrestle an African lion before you would want to get near a coon in a leg hold trap, I can guarantee you.
Oh, God. Now I'm starting to
There's another side to the housing. So, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, low-income, government-subsidized housing, it doesn't work.
No, I don't want that.
They move in and they destroy it. I've seen that. You're talking about projects, basically. I've seen it. They move in and within a year it's destroyed.
I'm not wanting projects. I wanted to relax the building requirements, to start allowing people to build in the county, subdivide, you know, create things.
Stephen, they don't want that. What they want is the upper middle class. and the upper class, because they've got the deep enough pocketbooks to where they can tax and tax you and tax you, and these people won't complain because, you know, they want to live in this nice little town, and so it benefits them. It benefits
want to live in their
the government,
community,
and it
and then
benefits
once you go in the
people
gate.
Living here. Run the riffraff off.
Yeah,
I mean, people move out here from the city because they want to be out here where it's nice and peaceful and kind of safe. And they move into a gated community, and then in that gated community, you drive up to their property, and you go through a gate to get into their property, and then a lot of times you have to go through a gate to get into their actual, you know, yard, and then you got to go through security system to get into the damn house. I mean, it's they move to the country and they're terrified. It's just why did they even move?
That's what they're used to living in.
Well, I guess we do too good of a job. You know, there's too much fun eating and drinking and tchotchkes and character and maybe the excitement. I don't know. Is there excitement? You know, go down to Main Street and it's filled with people that are walking across the street when they're not supposed to, you know, staring at their rectangle. You know, I was amazed when, you know, somebody walked across the street the other week, you know, right in front of me. And they were looking at their rectangle, you know, just having fun, came out of their restaurant and stopped in the middle of the damn street to poke at it. And I'm kind of like driving towards them, about to hit her. And I'm kind of like going, hey, and I slow down and I kind of honk, and up comes the finger. Really? You're standing in the middle of the damn street staring at your rectangle. And I honk to get you out of the way like a dumb cow, right? Because you're acting like a dumb cow. And you flip me off. Oh, I'm the bad person, right? But that person epitomizes, you know, the kind of, well, we sold it to them, right? We tell them it's Disneyland. You know, come over here. Everybody loves you. Walk up and down Main Street drinking. Right, you know, you'll leave without a DUI charge for the most part. You know, that was
no. You get public intox. The paper's full of reports, Steve, of people passed out on a bench on Main Street or staggering on Main Street.
I've seen that.
Steve, all this stuff is situational, Steve. You know, case by case basis. Because I mean, how many of those people that were living under the bridge down there? If you said, "Well, I've got a job, I'll pay you $30 an hour for it." How long do you think those people, if they would take a job, would they even stay there and appreciate it and actually pull themselves up out of it? Or do they want to be homeless?
Right. Homeless, I guess it's a, has a lot less...
A case-by-case thing.
Yeah. Hang on, folks. That's the break. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
All right. We're back. Hey, what do you need to be homeless, to be really comfortable? I liked what we were just talking about in the chat room, not the chat room. I guess it was like in between the commercials and so forth. Is it pizza? What was that? Pizza, beer, and Wi-Fi. Do you believe that? Pizza, beer, and Wi-Fi? You know, what got me... when we went under the bridge, and we're going to be going to the phones here in a little bit. I guess we've been starting to get some callers, and I'll go ahead and open those doors here in a minute. But what got me when I went under the bridge and I looked at Fredericksburg's homeless camp is how much it's changed and how much it's dependent upon, well, technology. While we were under the bridge, one of the homeless guys down there, he was receiving phone calls. He kept receiving phone calls, and he'd tell them, no, I got these mean people here, and they hate me, and I hate them, and no, leave me the phone. Dude, I wanted to play you guys the clip, but I can't beep out all that, the swearing that came out of that mouth. But anyways, I digress. My story was I looked down at him while he was answering his phone, and he had two other cell phones sitting there, one set up like a TV. Right, and it was a big cell phone, right? You know, and I'm going, yeah, I guess.
So these weren't just little flip phones; these were like the $800 stupid phones, right?
Rectangles, big rectangles. Yes, you know, Samsungs, or you know, I don't know if he had an iPhone. Maybe he did. I don't know. You know, it was some kind of phone. That could have been Obama phone, right? You know, I got this because I don't want to do anything.
And don't you have to have an address to get cell service? I mean, don't they have to bill you somewhere? I mean, because you can't get, you know, the pay-as-you-go thing, you know, the what do they call those, you know, where you buy a card and...
No, you can do a cell phone anyway. Just have money, or you know, maybe it was an Obama phone, and that's a phone that they give you, and it just gets time on it all every month, you know. And then you can go down and get a prepaid, you know, and then go into your coffee shop and charge all three of your phones at once, you know, and then go home and watch movies or do this and that. And, you know, I don't know. 1-800-313-9443 is the call-in number, 1-800-313-9443.
And that is something that really amazes me, Steve, is that, you know, I get weird television, and it doesn't matter if it's some, you know, goat herder up in the middle of the mountains in Azerbaijan, or, you know, down in South America, or in the deepest dark depths of the Congo in Africa. They've got a friggin' cell phone. Everyone has a damn cell phone.
I know. Kind of crazy. Mark in Philadelphia. Mark?
I'm here.
How you doing, man?
It's amazing you guys are talking about this very subject. I'm facing that myself. I've been down a long and windy road, and I can tell you and give you some clues about how this is all by design from the top down. First of all, here's a clue. People on food stamps, let's see, what would be a good thing to get with food stamps? How about some good nutrition for your body and your brain? Okay, that's a big one. The other one is many food banks, you know, they have some foodstuffs, but most of them are canned. A lot of them are canned. A lot of it's junk food. I would rather fast than eat some of the food that comes through some of the food banks.
Right.
Okay. As far as these organizations that are here to, quote-unquote, help you, okay, they're fronts. Now, they can portray to the public that they're helping people, and they can check out the checklist, check, 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 check. Look how many, and specifically here I'm talking about veterans organizations. I'm dealing with one now, and this is absolutely atrocious with how they've been interacting with me, or lack of interaction. And when you try to hold them down to what they're supposed to be doing to support you, they dare not want to go there, and they might even show you the door. Okay, so now that's not to say that there aren't some good organizations out there, but the vast majority are fronts. They were created as 501c3s, okay, like Alan said, at the end of the year, you know, whatever they save, whatever they actually don't give out, then they get to keep, right? Mm-hmm. And they have to use up all their money so that they can get at least that amount or more for the next go-around, right? So here's another one. Now, I'm here in this big city. By the way, I've been through Fredericksburg. I was first there in 1975 when we went through that, went up the road there to Linda B. Johnson's ranch.
And it was a great town back then.
And then I lived, I also lived in Austin about the year 2000. I happened to have been homeless, but I lived in my van. I had a 69 Chevy van. And I stayed at the hostel there. I'd stay a few days, and then I'd go to a place which many Austinites didn't even know existed, was called Emalong Park. Emalong Park's right along the lake, and you look up the hill, and there's where Michael Dell lived, right? So during the week, there was nobody there. I could camp out for $10 a night and with a tent or in my van, and it was wonderful. I was the only one there most times. But I'm sure it's changed since that was like 2000, so I know the population of Austin has ramped up, like, you know, what is it, 2 million now? But the cost of living back then was outrageous, and it's got to be worse than then. So, because you got all the Californians moving in, the movie stars and everybody else. So, but here in the big city of Philadelphia, what I'm facing is that who runs the city now? And can I hold over?
Oh, yes, sir. Hang on. Hey, Republic of Texas Radio, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So are you tired of being tired? Well, then it's time to get the tea. Hey, it's Lisa here to tell you about this all-natural, all-organic tea I've been drinking that has had great results for over 20 years. It's called Life Change Tea, and it's specially formulated to help detoxify and cleanse your kidneys, liver, colon, and blood all at once. The colon is one of the most ignored organs in the human body. The faster that waste is eliminated from the body, the less time that waste sits in our intestines, spreading toxins to our bloodstream. This tea helps cleanse chemicals caused by outside intruders from our entire digestive system, and get this, weight loss can be a side effect. And with continued use of the tea, you can experience clearer, healthier, younger looking skin, increased energy, and a happier outlook on life. So if you're tired of being tired, get the Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com, and like me, you'll be glad you did.
La, Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, we got a chat room, and Susan managed to throw some links up to that video that we recorded, the live stream. It's one of the neat features that you can go live and show people, and actually got quite a stir here in Fredericksburg. I know y'all don't like Facebook. I don't like Facebook, but we're not talking about that. Right now we have Mark in Philadelphia. Carry on. Keep going, man.
Sure thing. So I'll try to keep it short here. A few more topics. So the deal is, gone are the days where you can just walk up to a potential employer and say, I'd like to work for you. Here's my resume. Here, you know, have it all ready. And they say, well, when can you start? Well, how about now? Well, we're sorry. You'll have to go online, and you have to apply online. And you have to go through a drug screen and then a physical and how long might that take? Well, it usually takes like 6 to 8 weeks.
And your credit score?
6 to 8 weeks. Huh?
And Mark, you weren't listening to our conversation over the break, were you? Because I brought this up exactly. That, you know, used to be when you worked for someone, if you were competent and did your job, there was reciprocity, you know. They would walk up and say, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing for me. I couldn't do it without you, you know. Thank God you're here. Now they want to own you 24 hours a day. If you work for them, you are basically their slave. And I know there are exceptions, but for a majority, is that where you're coming, what you're basically saying?
Well, I'm getting to something else here too. They hook you. They get you so invested that you don't want to go through that process again. So you'll probably hang on to what you got, even though it's not even anywhere near the ideal, you know. Mm-hmm. But in this mm-hmm. case, I'll give you a recent example. I was working out at the airport for that company. Let's see, Hertz. It was a subsidiary of Hertz. Now, the guy that I interviewed with, I went into the office because I'd heard that this guy, this general manager, was a good guy. His name's David Marr, and he's from, he'd been with the company for 8 years, and he also happened to be a veteran. He was 27 years CB, retired. So he acknowledged, he says, "Oh, you're a veteran." I said, he looked at my resume. I said, "Yeah, well, thank you very much. Nobody's ever acknowledged that." I said, "Are you a veteran?" He says, "Yeah." And so he would have hired me right on the spot because he needed a driver. Right, but he couldn't. He had to follow the program. The program was, you're going to have to go through all this. Now, get this: for $11 an hour job, not one background check, but two. Okay, and one of those companies called me up about they wanted my transcripts from community college that I went to in 1980 while I was in service down in Florida. They wanted my transcripts. They wanted my transcripts for community college. They said, "Well, we couldn't reach the school." I said, "Well, I'm sure they're still open. Well, would you happen to have a copy?" I'm like, "No, not really." You know, I mean, this is ridiculousness. Then, by the way, then who took over? So David went. He got transferred when I actually started the first week. Went down to Baltimore, and so who took over? The guy that had been working under him, who didn't, by the way, I found out later, didn't like veterans, didn't like me being a veteran, didn't like David hiring me as a veteran. He happened to be from Mali. He didn't speak good English, and the majority of people that I worked with were didn't look like me, okay? And that's how I'm getting to another point. And many of our big cities have been taken over by, they've been allowed to take over management, okay? And they're running things, and if you're a white guy, forget about it. You're at the bottom of the list. You're at the very bottom of the list, including these helping organizations, like Community Legal Aid. I walked into the office because I have to deal with something that I'm dealing with right now because the veterans organization, a not-for-profit, is supposed to be helping me. They pulled the rug out from under me, and they need to be closed down. But they're a front for, you know, they can check off the list that they're helping vets, but are they effectively helping vets? They might temporarily help them, so then they can check off the list, right? But are they effectively helping a veteran to find stable housing and restabilize their life? They are not. Absolutely not. And I dare to say that anybody in these organizations that design these programs, have they ever been homeless? Do they even know what it looks like? Have they ever even been to a homeless shelter? Not one of them, including a lot of counselors, social workers here, there, and everywhere. I dare to say they've never even visited a homeless shelter, but you could always go to a shelter. Oh, really? I wouldn't send my enemy there. They're dangerous places, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, what's the solution? That's the $24 billion question, but it's done by design, and so we have to bootstrap ourselves up amongst ourselves, and I'm trying to get skedaddle out of this damn city because it's driving me nuts, and it's a liberal, crazy place. Purple hair, pink hair, transgender, you say the wrong thing, the wrong person, my gosh, you get in trouble. I mean, it's just crazy, and so I'm trying to get down south where there's people got their feet on the ground, have some respect, and you know they understand things better. But anyway, so it's a complicated problem in one hand, but on the other hand, it's simple. But if you involve government or these third party organizations, that basically they're basically sucking off the tit of the government, really. Okay,
yeah.
And it's been going on for a long time. It's incremental, and it's been happening. And so so that's a real challenge to get up and out of it. Like I said, with the employment thing, you know, every one of them. You go to a job fair. I've been to multiple job fairs. I want to meet the guy that's making the decisions. Oh, you can't meet that person. These are just human resources people. And you can go to our website. Well, why have a job fair? Why have a job fair? The reason is a one-on-one, you know, meeting of somebody and to make an impression and have a short conversation, let them know what you're up to and what your training, your skills, all that, right? No. Go on our website. So basically, they're analyzing everything. It's artificial intelligence taking over, huh? What do you think?
Yeah.
So, you know, statistical analysis. I think the word anal is analysis, fair. Right? So anyway, I'll leave it at that, guys. You guys are talking about a good subject, and it's affecting a lot more people, a lot of people, and it's devastating. And many people. And then here's the other part: that the poor, they've been traumatized. Okay, and the system re-traumatizes them. It re-traumatizes them going through these. You know, like you go to a helping organization, they'll say, "Well, I'm sorry, we can't help you, but we got a list." Here's the list. Go to these people. Okay, you go to the next one on that list, right? You go, "Well, I'm sorry, sir, we can't help it, but we got a list."
Right.
If you go through ten of them, you're back around to the original place, right? And none of them can help you, unless, like Alan said, unless you're a minority or unless you're an immigrant. Those poor immigrants, okay, got to help them, right? Mm-hmm. But the veterans, forget them. Forget the elderly. Forget, you know, the people that count, the people that, you know, the families that built this nation. No, let's give it away to the people that don't deserve it and give them a big head when they walk away and say, "Yeah, I'm deserving that, right? Because you owe me." The Indians and the Chinese that come over here, especially the Indians, man. Like I said, University of Pennsylvania, Ivy League school. I walked through there many times. All you see is Indians and Chinese. Now, how the heck did that happen? I nearly see a white person. Nearly. Oh, so
probably got grants. You know,
yeah. In the School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania, you know, that our president is proud to have been at, was started up and run by the Tavistock Institute. So, yeah, everything is controlled, Mark. You're right. It's a long-term plan. You know, people sitting in positions of privilege have no understanding about what all these poor migrants just coming up here to make a better life for their family are doing to the regular people in this country that used to be able to get jobs, even if they were the things that Americans won't do, you know, like kind of like what I do. It's a long-term plan, and most of the people are just mesmerized, and they don't understand the mind control techniques and the manipulation that's being done.
Yeah, and one more thing. Now, you know, Frank from North Carolina, he might be a little bit out there, but I'll tell you, he's on target, because my investigation and my experience is that the tribe has infiltrated these organizations, including, by the way, the Veterans Administration. And if you want to know who's running the VA, it's not psychologists, it's not the physical medical doctors. No, it's psychiatry. Mm-hmm. And who started psychiatry? Look it up, folks. Not take it from me. Look who created psychiatry. And when you go to the areas where they're at, their names are all tribal, and they're running the show, telling us what's good for us, right? So anyway, I'll leave it at that. So guys, thank you very much for being daring enough to talk about a subject that nobody wants to really address. It's happening, and it's coming at us, and it's still happening. It's going to keep happening till I don't know what we're going to do to figure it out. But
I don't know either. Thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it, there, Mark. We lost Susan.
Okay. Susan. Hey, I'm here. I thought you lost me too.
Okay. I don't know. I was that was
out of curiosity, when Mark was talking, I was doing a search, and I just simply typed in organizations that help homeless, and you know the list is organizations that have extremely high CEO salaries. You know, United Way, YWCA, Feeding America, Mercy Housing. I don't know about their CEO's salary. Goodwill, we already know what Goodwill is. Some dude figured out, if you give me your stuff, just give me your stuff, I'll sell it and make millions. But, you know, what Mark was talking about, and the Indians and the Chinese, you know, those people educate their youth, okay? In America, we don't educate anyone. We indoctrinate. We dumb mm-hmm. them down. They come out of school, even higher education, as idiots. Not all, but for the most part. Okay, so they have no social skills. They don't even know what a checkbook is. They don't, of course, couldn't balance one. You know, our workforces are full of people who got here on green cards who were actually educated where they came from, because we're not educating our children here. So it's a ripple-down effect. Now we've got uneducated homeless.
Well, 1-800-313-9443. I want to see the videos that we're talking about from Susan and I's little adventure last week, you know, down to the homeless camp in Fredericksburg, Texas. You can go to our chat room. It's over at republicoftexas.chattango.com. It is a link to Facebook, but you don't have to sign in or do anything to view the videos. And it was a live stream, and Facebook, we used it. She used it as a tool, and it got the desired result. The result was just to expose the fact that it's here. It's here. But we knew it was here. We've been told that there's a few places around town that also, you know, houses, homeless people. And I don't know that I'm going to go looking for them. Don't know what I'm going to do. Just to finish the show, first we'll go over to Jerry. Jerry in Texas. Hello. Knock, knock. Are you there?
Good morning. Yeah, hey, great to rest, Alan. My dad and his family and my wife's dad's family lived that. My dad, his family, he and his family didn't go to California, but they lived Grapes of Wrath. And, my great aunt told a story on my mother's side. She lived in Austin, and her husband was fairly successful, I guess, during the Depression. She said that she got her yard mowed. They had an old real push mower. Y'all don't know what that is. Google it, and you might find a picture of it. But there'd be men come up, want a job just for a sandwich. And she said, well, I don't have anything. She got her yard mowed sometimes a half a dozen times a day. They refused to take that sandwich until they did something for it. There was a certain amount of pride back then that you don't see nowadays.
Exactly. But, degradation of our society. Yeah.
Our welfare, if you want to call it that, or dealing with homeless, I'm convinced that most of those organizations want to make the people they're helping, and I put that in quotation marks, they want to create a dependency, drugs.
In this country, there would be breadlines if we didn't have EBT cards. You would see it, but you don't because...
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, yeah.
And what department is funding that? U.S. Department of Agriculture. Every year when they get their budget and what have you, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, that's where the federal food stamps come from. Interesting enough. If you don't believe me, look it up. Matter of fact, they were discussing on cutting a bunch of the recipients of that, and the Department of Department of Agriculture was up in arms because they're going to lose a bunch of funding.
Hey Jerry, I want to swing you back to where we were coming from, and ask you a couple questions. First of all, in your part of Texas, do you know of any homeless people that are living around there? I know you stay on the farm for the most part, but what's it like down there? Do you have any panhandlers, any signs? Well, work for food. No, we don't have any signs. Those guys,
no.
If they show up signs, they're gone pretty dang quick. Like where you're at.
No, I'm not aware of. I'm sure there is. Social workers are, they go out trolling for people. You know, they look for it. More they find, the greater their job security. Hey, reality check, folks. Small communities, they've got the food banks. People are there lined up. There's a lot of day worker jobs around here on farms and ranches, auction barns, things like that. But so far as out and out homelessness panhandling, I'm not aware of it. People tend to help one another if they can, and the person's willing to work. And folks, some of the housing these people rent, and it's pretty much token rent. It's some old bungalow out on a farm or ranch, maybe used to house migrant workers back in the cotton picking days. They're rented out, but people shudder to see what the conditions are like. Not unclean, just not modern conveniences. Hey, I'll let y'all get on to another color. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh. Thanks for calling in, Jerry. Republic of Texas Radio. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. We're leaving you now. Well, maybe not right now, but we are at the end of the show. Short segment, a couple minutes to close things off, and I'm going to pass it off to Alan to let him get a few seconds or minutes. Go ahead, Alan.
I'll just give you a little analogy that most people will understand and probably want to reach for a barf bag about what this country and basically the whole world is turning into. And what is eventually going to happen? Everyone knows what a boil is, right? And when a boil, it'll grow and grow and keeps getting bigger. And eventually that boil has to be lanced. And once it's lanced, a lot of real not pretty stuff comes out. So, it's got to happen sometime, and it ain't going to be pretty when it does.
Susan?
Yeah, there's not any motivation to solve homeless when you've got the you know, United Way, you got YWCA, I'm stuck on that one. You got Goodwill. If homelessness is solved some sort of a way, they don't have a job anymore, and their fat cat CEOs don't have their six-figure-plus salaries anymore.
And once again, they have a lot of lobbying power to not, like cancer. You know, if they cured cancer, hundreds of billions of dollars would not be coming into these organizations. And they've got a lot of lobbying power, and they don't always lobby for the good or for what they're actually set up to do.
Yeah, you know, you guys both just bringing me down, so all this talking for the last 2 hours is going to be for nothing, huh? No, I don't know that I'd say for nothing. You know, I didn't expect to come up with any kind of solutions here, but I do want to show people what is going on and, you know, appreciate the callers, you know, sharing their things. I've had a fascinating voyage just talking about homelessness to different people in my life. You know, it's amazing how many people have had the carpet fall out from right under them and how their stories, you know, and how they survived and where they went and the challenges that they faced. And a lot of times the state ain't going to pick your ass up. I say ass. I think we can say that. But anyways, they're not going to pick you up. People are going to pick you up. And that's what I come down to in all my solutions. Do we have one here? Do we got to keep going? Or, I think asking questions is the most important thing. You know, at least for now. But
it's about community. It's time for community to step up and stop sweeping this under the bridge.
But that doesn't mean that we need to get a committee together and study something or throw money at it. Yeah, because that always gets co-opted and perverted and nothing gets done. We don't need to look at what's being done in another state or another city and say, hey, look, they've got this homeless hotel, and let's go ahead and bring in all these little tiny houses, and that's going to fix it. I think we should...
The movie V for Vendetta, you know, that they got control of the main television station, and they played that message, and that's when everyone became aware. If we can get back the main means of communication and information output, you know, that's the only way that we can hopefully bring a civilized society back, an honorable society. Like Jerry said, you know, his mother, you know, she had her lawn mowed six times because these people didn't want to work. You know, they didn't just want a handout; they wanted to do something something that someone might help them out with. You know, and that did happen a lot back then. People still had a little bit of pride, a little bit of work ethic, a little bit of national unity, whatever you want to
morality.
Call it, you know, just general decentness. Yeah.
Man, I remember studying the Great Depression, and, you know, people think that there was a bigger problem than that they actually portray out there. And the government wasn't the solution. They were part of the problem, you know, and they were a big part of the problem. Of course, you know, I'm not supposed to be talking about that. Oh, well. That's it, folks. I hear the music. That's Marcus Wright closing us out with his music. You know, he's homeless, or not really homeless. I don't know. He's probably surfing the whatever, you know, out in Washington or something like that. But he's a Fredericksburg homeboy. You know, he's been here, left for there, playing music, doing his thing. I don't know what he's doing. Hey, Marcus, hope you get this. Otherwise, bye, guys.
Bye. Thank y'all. Bye-bye.
Say goodnight, Alan.
The tree of life is us, my friends.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite, should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how. Problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.